Okay, gang, how about it for the Blue Notes?
And you're listening to Radio Regent. This is a Saturday Morning Live, and we now go into the segment Into the Vaults, where we go into the past of Saturday Morning Live, and this is Into the Vaults.
Speaking to Harold Melvin, founder and leader of the Blue Notes, how you feeling?
I'm fine, brother. How you doing?
Oh, everything is fine. I just want to ask you couple of questions about what's happening today and the whole what you're doing right now and mm-hmm. some little bit of history.
Oh well, as of right now, we're in Toronto talking with you and doing this interview. When we leave here, well, I'll be going back to Philly. We start recording. We just signed with Atlantic Distributors Omni, and they're very excited, and I'm excited about it. I finally put the sound back together like I want it now, you know. I've replaced all the holes, filled in all the holes now, and I'm ready to go again.
Can you tell me, where did you find Gilbert Sanders?
Gilbert was a group in Philly that I was managing anyway. I always had Gilbert on the side, you know. I learned before a long time ago, you gotta keep, just like they do in football, you gotta keep a spare quarterback somewhere around, just in case. Well, Gilbert was with another group Luella McClendon was handling them, a very good friend of mine, and called, they were called New Day then. And that's for, but Ebo was in the group before, before the name Ebo. So when Ebo got big-headed, you know, then we just parted ways, and I put Gilbert in the group.
Gilbert is a studied Teddy closely, or was that his style anyway?
No, Gilbert sounded like that or anything. See, I taught Teddy, so I'm teaching Gilbert. You know? See, Teddy didn't sing like that. I taught Teddy to sing like that and taught Teddy his moves. You know, I'm not trying to take no credit for nothing, but I'm tired of being modest from now on. You know, everybody else being, they're throwing their name on what I didn't did, and I'm tired of that now. You know, I've been quiet long enough. Yeah.
Did you pattern him after like Marvin Jr. and the Dells?
That's right. Marvin was, I grew up under Marvin and them, you know. They were about the first group I'd ever met when I was in Philly, when they used to come to Philly. And they took me under their wing, and Marvin had the kind of voice that I figured that girls liked, that masculine voice, you know. So I taught Teddy from there, you know. Teddy was deaf-tone when I first started teaching him. Teddy was my drummer at first, really. You know, Teddy didn't know he could see, even sing. So it took about like, see, a lot of people don't realize it took about 8 years to develop Teddy to what he was when the public saw him. See, all them years before, they didn't even know he was existing. I was teaching him, you know. It just didn't happen overnight, you know.
Last record you did for Philly World, you're not doing any songs from it, or I just didn't hear them, you hear you do them last night?
No, let me see. Philly World blew that album, brother. You know, it was a good album. You know, they was kind of disappointed that Philly didn't come through with it. And now Lang wasn't gonna pick up the option on Philly World, so I think that's what, you know how the politics and records is. So they really didn't get behind it, but they're excited about us this time. No, we're gonna do I Really Love You, or we have, because they messed up distributing the singles. We didn't know which was gonna be the single, you know. They didn't know what they was doing.
What's happening with the Wonders now? Last time you had the Wonders, yeah, a couple of years ago. Are they still together?
Tony, one of the Wonders, is still singing in Another Girl in Washington. I got them now as a duo. So after I finish cutting us, I'm going to go and start cutting them.
What do you think the status of the stand-up vocal groups is right now? With the whole thing with New Edition, you think it's something that's going to live, or the self-contained groups are going to basically take it over?
No, the vocal groups is back in now. Everything is going back to the beginning now. You know, I just looked in the Billboard the other day. I see where Lil Anthony, is gonna do Tears on My Pillow again with New Edition on the new album. So I mean, everything is going back to the beginning now, you know. They labeled our music R&B, so it's going back to the beginning of R&B now, you know. So the vocal groups are gonna be back in like they was one time before. All the rap stuff that leveled off a little bit now, you know. I think they didn't work that too much by now.
And where did you find Rufus Thorne?
Oh, Rufus was singing with a group in Philadelphia called The Creation. And when Ebo was in the group, the tenant that I had, he'd moved back to Texas and was gonna get married or something. So he told me about Rufus. So I called Rufus. Rufus is Madison, New Jersey. The next week I had him in the group. Rufus is a star.
Well, Jerry Cummings was before Rufus?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jerry's in Dallas now.
No more music?
No, he dabbles in it, but there's nothing really happening, you know.
And I just heard, I have a copy of you singing If You Really Love Me, not the original version, but you did it over again on MCA.
Right, right.
And in My Hero and stuff like that. Why did you decide to re-record that first song?
Well, If You Love Me? Well, If You Love Me was the first hit record that we ever had as the Blue Notes. That's when, I was the baby of the group then. That's the original Blue Notes. And We redid it, and it would have been a smash, but they didn't roll with it. In fact, one night it was on the radio, and Gamble called me, which is Kenny Gamble, to people that don't know, and said, that's a smash there, but it was on the B-side. It was going with the up-tempo tune, I think, Hang On In There or something. So, but we're doing it in the show now, If You Love Me. But I think I want to try it one more time, because it is a hit record. And I have recorded My Hero again on Rufus, but it hasn't been released yet. We will maybe try to get it in this album or the next one.
You produced, you still using Sigma Sound, or you using Alpha Sound?
Well, I used Alpha when we did the last album, the Talk It Up album. But now we'll probably use Sigma a little bit, maybe Alpha too. Then they have a new studio now called Cajun in Philly now. That's a 48 track, the Total Recall and all digital and everything.
What's happening with Earl Young and Norman Harris and all that old MFSB people?
Oh. Norman's right around the corner from me, and Norman will be on the new album. He's been helping me with the guitar parts. You know, he comes around and helps me. And Earl's still playing with the Tramps. They're trying to get back together again. And Baker, they're still doing session work. Roland Chambers, and they still doing session work. You know, most of the rhythm section and the horns and the strings now. Don Ronaldo and them, you know, it's kind of just they're not using too many full orchestras now. You know, with these machines. So now and then the violin, you use the violins, but they're not using them as much as we did before.
Could I ask you about some individuals that have been with you before? Understand, like Bunny Sigler used to sing with you.
Bunny Sigler, Billy Paul, Frankie Beverly, and way years ago, let me see, Griff Washington used to play saxophone with us. Yes, indeed, but he didn't like to travel. He still don't like to travel today too much, though. But years ago, Grover was a saxophone player.
Oh, like Frankie Beverly Mays. He reminds me a lot of Sam Cooke.
Yeah, well Frankie liked gospel a lot. I guess you can hear it in his music and everything too, the changes he makes and everything. But Frankie had at the time, things wasn't going too good for when you're not working that much. We weren't really making any that much money. So then he laid out for a while, and then he finally formed his own little group. He had a scene group first called the Butlers, after he left me and everything, you know, and they worked around Philly in the area for a while, you know, out of town a little bit, and then nothing really happened until Mays, you know, until they changed it over. And he went solo and just started playing, you know, the self-contained group.
Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, would they ever perform in South Africa?
No, indeed. We've been asked to go to South Africa. That's when Teddy and all of us were together. I mean, for great money, you know. They try to weaken you with that there, you know, but Reverend Jesse Jackson had asked all black acts to stay out of South Africa until they change things around where black people can come see him too. So we haven't even considered it, and we don't even talk to anybody that even asks us about it, you know.
You used to spend a lot of time in Puerto Rico and in the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
How was it down there?
Oh, beautiful there. Puerto Rico used to play the casinos down there in Miami Beach. In fact, we just come back from Barbados. And I was told today that I'll be going to Jamaica in January. But the islands are very nice, though.
Oh, yeah, I remember you had a little problem. I think it was in Trinidad. I read about that.
Yeah. A guy tried to set us up, or promoter, rather. We had a room. We went down there with one promoter that was, they had rival promoters, and one promoter wanted a monopoly on all American acts. So it wasn't that to get us locked up, it was just to stall the show, to make the show die. We was out in about 10 minutes, you know, so that was all cleared up.
Mm. But you got some publicity on it.
Yeah, you got a little publicity on it. Mm-hmm.
Your management company now, like who have you got under your wing at this moment?
Well, I got a fellow from out of Washington, D.C. His name is Ron Carter. He's a bad boy. He's in the mold of Luther. He's in between like Luther and Teddy. You know, tall dude. I mean, he's bad. I think he can be a big star. And the Tony and this girl from Washington, I tell you, have. And I have a little group I'm putting together now. You know, some young boys.
And where do you want to take them?
Well, I'm going to start taking some of them out of here on the road with as soon as we complete the album. And let them open up the show a little bit. You know, that's what the same way I broke Sharon in. You know, I wish I could find another girl with the sound that Sharon had, you know.
Where is Sharon Page now?
Oh, she's in Philly. She's not really doing nothing now at all, you know. I see her every now and then, but nothing's happening with her.
You did record her with another woman, Nicole?
Yeah, but she's not doing nothing either. You know, they get big head brothers, you know. All of a sudden, they want to see her. Everybody, I guess, you know, like what I did with Teddy, but a lot of people didn't understand. See, Teddy earned what he had. You know what I mean? He deserved what he had because he was talented, he listened, he learned, and he studied his craft. Like for instance, Ebo thought that he was Teddy. Teddy took me 7-8 years to groom Teddy that way. You just can't come out and be a Teddy Pendergrass like that, you know? So a lot of guys get big heads, and they end up hurting themselves, yeah.
Was the split between you and Teddy rough, or was it?
Well, it was rough in the sense that I thought we were more friends than that. You know, he could have came to me and we could have discussed it, you know, rather than do it behind my back like that, you know. But I'm over that now, you know.
Do you still stay in touch with him?
Oh, now and then we talk. I haven't talked to him for a while, though, you know. But he was one of my best friends, and I was definitely his best friend. I was like a father, uncle, brother, and everything to him, you know. So now and then we talk, but not too much, though.
So Gilbert Sanders, how do you think he's going to fare in terms of how have people accepted him?
Oh, people love him. People love him. I mean, that void, the sound is back to group to the group that I originally had to put together, and the people like him. They like him for himself, you know. And now see they accept him for himself because he's not trying. They see he's not trying to copy today. Just the sound is the same, you know, or similar, you know.
He even looks like Teddy.
Yeah,
was that?
He's about the same height too. He just a little heavier than Teddy, but he does look like Teddy. No, that was just a coincidence.
And the other guys that you have in there, like who's your lineup in terms of who sings bass, baritone, tenor, and all that?
Well, sometimes I double on first, second, and baritone. Then Dwight Johnson doubles on bass and baritone and second. And Bill Spratley is baritone in second sometimes, so we switch up. And Rufus is the tenor. Mm.
Well, how come you never tried for like a Melvin Franklin type of bass? You didn't have that low
bass. Well, the original Blue Notes, we had a bass like that. The original Blue Notes now, but it's hard to find a bass singer like that, you know. Jesse was a bass like of that caliber. I don't know if you remember, the Spaniels had a bass of that caliber. Yeah, Gerald had a bass of that caliber. The Dells or Chuck, he's not even that low. He's like a baritone bass, but it was hard to find a bass with that low quality like that.
The Futures had a young brother that.
Harry. Yeah, right. Now I thought about Harry for a while back and everything, but they were doing pretty good at the time, but they broke up, you know.
They had one of their brothers had a Kenny Crew is deceased now.
Yeah, he died. Yeah. Well, they say he committed suicide or something like that, you know. The pressure of the business or whatever, I don't know what the reason, but they were a good group. They could have made it if they had stayed together.
Yeah. And what's the status of the Million Dollar Records?
Well, we still controlling like most everything I do, and as far as like all the production things go under that, you know. Well, everything goes under Harold Melvin Enterprise. I got a publishing company and the management company now. And eventually I'm looking for a label deal which will distribute Million Dollar Records, you know. So I can groom the acts I want. You know, I'm not looking for no whole big roster, maybe like three acts, and just a distribution deal, you know. Same way the Gambling had this set up, you know. I helped build everybody else, so it's time for me to help build myself now.
What input did you have on the Philadelphia International Records? What was your input on all of that?
Oh, brother, so much. I mean, I brought so much to the company, you know, which I should have had a piece of the company, but I'll get mine one day. But I worked very hard for Gams, and we were like brothers. It wasn't like I didn't work under a contract, you know. Me and him were friends, and we're still friends to this day, you know. A lot of things I didn't know then, I know now. You know, I know more about the business than I did now. And I wish him all the luck, and he wishes me all the luck. So we just leave it like that, you know. But I put a lot of input into the company, and I was very proud of the company being successful as it was.
Now, when you come out, you do like Wake Up Every, or you end the show, you come out with Ain't No Stopping Us Now, you end with Wake Up Everybody, or you start with Where Are All My Friends, and you end with Ain't No Stopping Us Now. Like, you seem to be concerned with the message music. I mean, that's something that you're not running from. Is that your input, or is that the song that you inherited, or is that actually the way you feel about it?
No, well, Ain't No Stopping Us Now, or another thing, Whitehaven Fadden, they all come from me too. The songwriters, I took them to Gams, you know. But it's just that the songs that we recorded, they were great songs. You know, they were classics. They had good writers. Well, Tools and them were part, they come from me. In fact, Tools was in the group for a little while, but they, you know, I seen that they wanted their own little thing. But I helped culture them into songwriters and took them to Gamble. You know, like I also eased the OJs in the Gamble years ago, because Gamble didn't know none of these acts because he never really traveled that much. I was always the one running around the country. So when Gamble decided he had to deal with CBS, then he called me, and then he started bringing acts in and everything then. Everything evolved from that, you know.
Well, I just read parts of James Brown's book, and James Brown talks about a show that you did with him and he did with you and the Isley Brothers, in the sense that you guys gave him a little competition. He was talking about you guys at that point. Mm-hmm. You had a hot group at that time.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's when I guess Teddy and all of us were together.
No, this is before Teddy. This is like he's talking about the Isley Brothers.
He's talking about the original Blue Notes.
Oh,
yeah, they were fantastic. I mean, they taught me. They were the epitome of everything that I tried to present. You know, I learned everything. They taught me everything they knew, but I had a little talent, too. And they saw that, and they molded me and nurtured me. I mean, they was the harmony, everything. I mean, stage presentation, and also the way they act off the stage. They were some bad boys, but it was no money around when we were... I was the youngest dude in the group. And when we were singing, there weren't enough theaters and clubs, and we didn't have no really big records to stay together to work. And they had families, and I was the youngest dude, so they just told me to carry it on. But we give everybody problems, you know. I mean, there's nobody that we can't stand up on the stage with, you know. I mean, out of all these, the Temps, the Pips, the Tops, everybody know that, you know. And I don't consider myself being a competition, just as it's my turn to go on. You know, and then we finally worked ourselves up to headliners, and I had to take like slack a little bit after the group busted up to prove myself again. But now everybody see it here, it's coming again. You know, it took a little time, but it's coming now.
Have you seen the Dramatics since they came back together?
Oh yeah. We worked with them in Newark about 3 months ago. They look good.
How they sounding today?
They sound good, and you know they got both lead singers now. Got Ouija and JR. Yeah, LJ, yeah. I always get his name mixed up. Yeah, they got both of them now, but they sound good, yeah.
Mm. Well,
the main ingredient is back together, too.
I just heard that.
Cuba and Tony and Luther. The original three are back together now.
Well, what's the name? Rufus kind of reminds me of Ron Banks in certain times.
Yeah. With little curly cues and stuff like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ron's a hell of a tenor. Great tenor.
And is there anything else you'd like to add?
I'd like to say thank you to all the fans for hanging in there with me, going through all this turmoil, but we've straightened it out now, and we're ready to hit you again.
So we can look for something on Atlantic Records?
Yeah, Atlantic Distributing it. You know, same label that Gene Kimes on. And then I'll give you another scoop. I wrote a song that I've always been good with girls. So being Gene Kimes on the label, and they're getting her hot now. We wrote a tune that maybe, if it's not this album, next album, we want to do a tune with us and Gene Kimes, similar to like where I did Hope Together Soon. It might be a ballad or a mid-tempo tune, but we got a hot one for it.
And when are you gonna have your stuff released?
They wanted us to record before we even came up to Canada here, because we were in Montreal for 2 weeks. But I told them, I said, ain't no sense getting that excited and rushing, just wait till we finish. So when I come home, I can devote all my time to that. So as soon as we get in, we're gonna start cutting the tracks.
I have a couple more questions I want to ask you. There's a guy named, I was reading this book, Sound of Philadelphia. I have it right there. Mm-hmm. And they talked about somebody named Johnny Styles being from Canada.
Johnny Styles.
I have a picture of him in this book, I'll show it to you. But I'm just trying to find that connection. Say he was with a group called the Manhattans. It could have been, I know it was not.
Blue and them.
No.
No, so I don't know who that is then.
Well, I have a picture of him. I should show it to you.
Okay.
So you don't know anything about this guy?
No.
The Philadelphia situation, how do you think his team is coming back now together? Do you think Philadelphia is going to make a comeback in terms of being a music center, or it never went away?
No, it really never went away. You know, only thing that was gambling, they closed down for a while, you know. And so while they were closed down, that's when Philly World popped up, you know. But Philly World was really Alpha International Studios, because that's what it was. So it was Alpha that just turned into a production company. And now they have Omni Records out of Philly, which Atlantic and Warner Brothers distribute. But Gavin and now, they've reissued the label again, which are Manhattan Distributors now. And they have Phyllis Hyman now. And the OJs, I think the OJs should be finished recording now. So after the first year, you should be hearing this stuff. And we just left for Detroit not so long before we came up here, and the Dells told me that Gamble had sent them a letter of intent. So he wanted to talk to us, but I really wanted to do my thing over here this time. I didn't want to get involved in all that again, you know, because it was too much, you know, BS before. You know, I think things could have been handled a little better, even with Gamble at the head of the company, the way the split went down. You know what I'm talking about? So rather than getting that, and I valued our friendship a little more than that there. You know, I didn't want money to get in the way of it. So we were friends, so I'd rather stay that and leave it that way, you know.
Because most of the time when someone leaves a group, like David Ruffin leaves the Temptations, or Felipe Wynn leaves the Spinners, the company has to support, I guess, the group or the individual.
Yeah. The guy was either was fronting the group or leading Rex and everything. Yeah, well, see, me and Gavin were better friends than that. At the time I thought, you know, some people are, money or power means a little bit more than others. You know, I was never really in it for all that. I mean, sure, I knew I wanted to make a good living. I knew there was money out here, but I mean, that wasn't the first thing in my head. You know, I figured our friendship was more important than that. You know.
So did when you left Philadelphia International and you went to Source Records.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And what happened to that situation?
Source, we brought the almost first gold album, and Logan Westbrook lost the company, they was in debt to MCA for all the money they were spending cutting other acts. We were the only ones that they sold any records with. Because I Should Be Your Lover almost did close to $750,000, the single. And Praying did pretty good, and the album did close to $700,000. I think they should have just went and bought the rest of the album to make it go gold, but Source wasn't going to, I mean, MCA wasn't going to pick up the option. So then, to this day, I haven't even got paid for it. They almost said like about a bean and a half, $150,000, you know? And so Logan lost labor, and he had one of the assets, so I can't collect it now, you know? But Logan was a good friend, and he had some people working for him that was messing around with the money, so that he didn't know of at the time, which were, that's why I really didn't pursue it that hard, you know, because it wasn't him so much, you know, because he was running the company pretty good, and he was a good record man. He could have had a good company if he had changed a few people in there, you know, that was running promotion people. They were spending too much money on the road, you know, writing them checks and them credit cards.
And then you did, you went with MCA?
Yeah, then MCA picked this up and everything. But at that time, I guess, you know, MCA wasn't really into black music, even when they had the tops. I mean, you know, they gave us good money and, you know, gave me my freedom and all that, but they wasn't really promoting black acts. Now they on it now, you know. In fact, the MCA had talked to us, I mean, had put the feelers out that they were interested in signing again. So I'm gonna lay here with this Omni thing for a minute and see what happens. But now I know all the options are open now because everybody see how to put it back together now. All the companies, everybody's came in to see now. They've come to see us. Every now and then somebody pops in and see what's going on. And they see now it's back together now, you know.
And it should be up from this point on.
Oh, yes, indeed. That's the guy, you know. I've been hanging around too long now. It's time for it to come back now, you know.
Are you going to have, like, message songs, ballads, mixture of both?
Well, we're going back into... We're going to do what we always did best. We're going to make them good love songs, you know. And not too many message songs is happening right now. You got to pick the right time for one of them now, you know. Everything is in love. And I think a lot of people are a little skeptical now on different songs. Got to be the right tune, you know. A tune like Ain't No Stopping Us Now, or even a tune like a Wake Up, but it got to be a great song. Just can't be anything written down, you know.
Have you heard any great songs in terms of message songs recently?
There's a couple of them that I've been listening to, and one that I've been writing in myself and a couple other writers called Where's the Concern for the People. That's a real good one, but just the timing has to be right, you know.
So have you ever been accused of having an X-rated show?
No, we only do that in the clubs and everything. you call it last night? We only do that when the crowd is right there. You know, sometimes if the crowd is not right, then we just keep it level. You know, if the crowd is right, they in that groove there, then we might do that. You know, but I tell you one thing though, something that we're gonna do, which we did in Philly though. See, we've never really had a video except for Lucky Day. We did a video on that one. But a live video, we did an hour special on public television that was a smash in Philly and around the area, so I think they're gonna sell it to other stations now. But at the time the group broke up, the next move was gonna be a live album of Harry Mumble and the Blue Notes, because that's been one of our trademarks in the clubs, the way we had that rap part with them girls in the audience, and gamblers wanted to capture that on the tape, but we never did that. But we're gonna do it one day. You know, get a live album with all that's happening. You know, all those things happening, you know, you can sell an album that way. Yeah.
I'll be your lollipop
Yeah, we just stole that a little bit from him too, man.
Right.
Yeah, you know, they pulled out the shades, set up the lights and all that.
Like Rufus, did you always have a tenor like him, or he brought that into the group?
No, see, the original group had a tenor that was similar to Rufus. See, you know, a lot of tenors, I know you've been following groups that used to just do. I don't think a tenor should, you know, tenors should sing melodies too. So Rufus had a good clear voice, and he sings melodies very good, you know. So I mean, Rufus was the first one that was able to bring the sound back that was in the original Blue Notes. So that's why I laid on the vocals before, like with Teddy and myself and Sharon, because I couldn't find a tenor that really wanted that I had before. So now all those areas are covered there. I want to find another girl though, because I got a girl, but I don't think she's the one that I want to put with the group, the feature with the group. You know, because that was a nice blend. Everybody, I was the first one to do that. You know, have Sharon come out in between the shows with us and everything. I want to find another girl because it works in good with us.
What kind of places are you working now?
We're doing great rooms. We just left the St. Bonaventure in Montreal. We're still doing the casinos, you know, the theaters and around. You know, I mean, we're working with all the top acts. You know, we give them all hell. I mean, they know we're coming. So he ain't come again, you know. They get the sweat when they see us on the show with him. But everything is picked up again now, you know. It was a while putting it back together, but it's all picking up now.
What about internationally?
We'll go to Germany after New Year. We've been going over there for like once or twice a year, Japan. So this year I think we're going back to Japan and Hawaii and all that. But all over there, they just love us over there. Music still, it's just like the music just came out.
What about Africa, not South Africa, but other parts of Nigeria, possibly?
In fact, when we were in England, we met a prince from Nigeria they've been trying to get us over there. It hasn't you know, worked out yet, materialized yet, though.
Have you played Jamaica before?
No, never played Jamaica.
You were supposed to do Jamaica one time when Marvin Gaye and Bob Marley did
right,
it?
Right.
I read some stuff about that. What happened to that, or do you remember?
Oh, no, I didn't even know we were supposed to be there. That's near around the time that the break was getting ready to come. This fella that was road manager at the time, he had dealt something underhand or something, and the group didn't even know about it. Because they were really excited about us coming in and everything. That was at the peak of everything. That's when wake up and everything was happening. You know, we never got over there, though.
So where's Billy Paul at now? Is he still
Billy, he's still running around. He's still working a little bit. You know, he's trying to get himself together again. In fact, he's trying to get a recording deal.
He was with Total Experience.
Yeah, they didn't really cut. It wasn't really nothing on the album that they could see. A lot of people, though, the way we used to cut in Philly, for Billy Paul to get another hit, so they had to cut him in Philly. Don't have to really cut him in Philly, but the Philly boys would have to cut him. Even if they went to L.A. to do him, which they went, the guy, because that's the only ones that know him, can get out of him. What can get out of Billy Paul? Everybody just can't cut Billy Paul. You know, because I mean, he's from his roots are from Philly. It's a thing that we have amongst us, a feel that we all click together. So if he gets somebody like myself, Sigler, or Gams, or Bell, you know, and the producers in Philly, the guys, and White Hit McFadden, I think they can bring him home again. You know,
even with that jazz background of his.
Yeah, but he has to just be a little more commercial now, though. You know, he'll stay a little more commercial now. I mean, because he can't really go too far out there now. You know, because Al Jordan came on in. You know, I mean, he didn't got commercial now. You know, well, I think the jazz, I like jazz too, but the cats took it out too far. They took it out too far where nobody could understand it, you know.
I better let you go. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you, brother. Oh,
I don't want you to go. See, I love you.